SMQBs episode 174. It's the Olympic extravaganza episode. But before we get to that, we do something a little different today. Before we get to that, though, hey, Rooster, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
I'm going to bring the New York Giants GM, Joe Shane. And I'm going to ask him, hey, did you ever even fucking watch Hard Knocks before you agreed to get on there, you dumbass?
I've been waiting.
Jesus. I mean, can you have undercut your own authority with the rest of the league any more than your horrible appearance on this show? Guy looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of his league. He's scaring the shit out of me. I'm just really concerned about what I'm seeing on Hard Knocks.
And he starts a pod with a punchable face.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. All right, Milk, who are you bringing?
I'm bringing the guy behind me, Stu Sternberg, the owner of the Rays. He is responsible for destroying the heart of my six-year-old son and has made the decision to sell off the whole team in the last 72 hours. Even though we're three games back in the wild card, I really, really want to fucking understand their mindset. Arozarena's gone. Paredes is gone. Two of my son's favorite players. It's been a tough 72 hours of the Michler household.
I didn't really make a lot of sense when you made that trade with Seattle and you were like three games behind Seattle at the time, right?
How about when we traded with the Cubs, who were like six games back? So they're buying.
All right. Alice, what about you? Who are you bringing?
Apparently loyalty doesn't matter much more in sports anymore. Poor Carlos Sainz. Poor guy was loyal to Ferrari, drove many weeks better than Charles Leclerc, and he's been pushed out of the way. And now, because the guy can't even afford to buy a drink at the bar because he's going to be driving for Williams, I think it's best if I take him to the bar, and I'd like to have a conversation with him as to how this whole thing went down and whether or not he thinks he'll ever be on a podium ever again.
He will not.
He will not.
Not with Williams.
Not with Williams.
All right. Pope, what do you got?
I'm going to bring one Snoop Dogg. I don't know if we're really going to a bar. We may just be going to hang and have a blunt or two. As Cheryl and I were saying yesterday, I mean, just think like last year with the NBC marketing guys, they're like, what can we do different for this year's Olympics that'll like, you know, get some interest? Oh, I don't know. What if we have Snoop Dogg come over and be like one of the traveling commentators? Oh yeah, that's genius. Let's do that. I mean, who would have fucking thought that would work the way it has? It's awesome. Love it.
All right. I'm bringing one George Russell to the bar because I think he needs a drink. For sure. Russell, who is not my favorite driver, actually drove a fantastic race in Belgium yesterday and won the race, pushing forward on a one-stop strategy that I think he was the only driver who did finish with one stop, only to get to the end and find out that his car was 1.5 kilograms underweight. And therefore, he was disqualified. Milk, you may have been saving this for a punchable face segment, but I got it for you. So I'm just curious to know how George is feeling about his team and just in general right now.
How much is 1 kilogram? I should know this, but I don't even know. How much was that?
I think it's about 5 pounds.
Wow.
Right.
Well, I mean, that can make the difference between being able to hold off ham or not. If your car is that much lighter, you're going to go faster.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that 1.5 kilograms could be several seconds over the course of a full race.
I used to know these race car mechanics in Connecticut who told me that back in the bad old days of NASCAR, when there wasn't really sophisticated regulation, they would have these tubes in the car filled with like BBs that would weigh, you know, multiple pounds, And then in the course of the race, they'd have this lever in the car and release all the BBs. And now the car weighed a whole lot less. All that kind of cheating went on all the time.
So I'm sure that's still happening, by the way, in NASCAR.
Yeah.
1.5 kilograms is 3.3 pounds.
Somebody should be fired for this, by the way.
Wow.
Isn't that like the basic thing before you race? Like, does it weigh too much? Like, that's like the first thing you check, right?
Are we running? I don't think it's a, well, are we running a legal car?
Well, that what I think some do too is they play the fuel game. They could figure out they don't need a full tank if they can get through the race without it, and they miscalculate on some of these things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all right. When they refueled it, did they have a two tire strategy in mind, and was that screwed up by their pivot to one tire? I don't know. One style.
I don't think this has anything to do with fuel, because I think they have to drain the fuel out of the car and then weigh it. I think the weighing is without any fuel in the car, and that was why initially when they weighed the car, Mercedes left like 1.5 kilos of fuel in the car, and then the FIA was like, "Wait a second," and went back, and that's why it was only later that he was disqualified. So. Definitely an interesting outcome. Sucks for George. Okay. Hey, look, we're going to do something a little different. It is the Olympics are going on once every 4 years, the SMQBs, I guess every 2 years because they stagger them now, but we get to cover Olympic sports such as badminton and canoeing. Who can forget our episodes on those two sports? I think we also hit it out of the park on curling. So, this will for sure be an excellent episode, but here's how we want to do it. We're going to this is going to be a punchable face and a lasso all in episode. So we're going through the storylines, and it's either a lasso story or a punchable face storyline. Who wants to lead it off? Who's got one to start?
Well, I have an old one. We started this out weeks ago when we punched the Netherlands for allowing Steven Vandeveld to be on the men's volleyball team. You guys see how much he got booed during their first match?
Yep.
This is the guy who at age 19 raped a 12-year-old and served time in jail for it. Not the kind of guy I would have on my team. And many other teams have come out and said the same thing, including Australia. So Netherlands keeps getting punched. I have others, but somebody else jump in.
How did they let him play, Rooster? Why is this guy playing?
Yeah,
they're running out the old tried and true story about how he did his time and he's a different person and he's matured. Yeah. There's never a reason to have a rapist on your team, period.
Yeah. I mean, if you're 19 and you're raping a 12-year-old, I mean,
it'd be one thing, you know, I have a modicum of sympathy for the guy who's legal by about 2 months and thinks that is in love with a girl who's 2 months younger and they're both kids. This is a 19 and a 12 year old.
This is vile.
Yeah.
It's vile.
Wander Franco territory.
It's disgusting. Yes, it's disgusting.
Wander Franco. Yes.
That's right. All right.
I got one, but I'm going to pass my time to House, 'cause I want him to address this. Why is France shitting on Embiid right now?
Well,
why did the French fans?
They sent him a passport. That's why. Well, and he said no.
I'm trying to figure out. Isn't he from Cameroon?
Yeah,
he's from Cameroon.
Why do they think he's French?
Because at one point in time, because
they're colonialists.
Yeah, at one point in time, he said that's what he would have liked to have done a long time ago when he didn't realize Cameroon would have any kind of team, and this is all about his kid. You know, he's raising his kid in the United States. He's going to live in the United States forever. He's obviously, you know, plays in the United States Basketball Association. You know, like Hakeem Olajuwon, the list goes on and on and on. I think we all know that Olympics is a little loosey-goosey with where your citizenship is from, where you can play for. The fact that the French are so outraged, the real reason they're outraged is because if you add Embiid, Wemby and some of the other players that they have, Fournier and Gobert, they'd actually be a pretty decent team. notwithstanding Embiid's first game. Yes, he didn't.
Yeah. He didn't play I hear great. After that U.S. Serbia game, French said, "Never mind, we're good."
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, can we? While we're talking about Embiid, I mean, is it fair to say that the U.S. is a better team if, when he's on the bench? I mean, he's really just kind of slow and plodding at this point, isn't he?
Objectively, the answer is no.
Wow.
Certainly from an international basketball standpoint.
Objectively, the answer is no when you look at the plus minus of him and AD, and even if you count Bam Adebayo. Embiid didn't have a great first game, but in all of the tune-ups, and even in this game, they're a better team when he's on the floor. And by the way, if you have people named Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant shooting the basketball, you don't need Embiid to score 10, 20, 30 points. You need him to be a decoy. He's a decent passer himself. He'll be fine. Relax, haters.
Well, at least he played better than Jason Tatum.
No, I didn't.
who didn't play at all.
I think Steve Kerr gets a punch for that one.
Well, I heard Kerr today. Yeah, that was stupid.
I think Steve Kerr deserves a punch for that.
Did he forget
stupid.
Him?
It's just stupid. I think
he forgot him.
Sound like he forgot him.
The guy's just won the NBA championship. He was in the running for championship MVP. And you don't play him 1 minute, not even 1 second of the game. Like, put him in for 2 minutes, for God's sakes, so that you haven't created this stupid story.
He's the rook. He's the really rook. Make poor. Him get some more Gatorade for the
really poor
for the veterans.
All right.
No, I have a question for you. Since you asked a question for me, I have a question for you about these Olympics. Because I know that you back in the day were a very good gymnast yourself. And
pommel size.
I just want to know, like, yes. When you would do these various
events. Was it pommel horse?
Yes, the pommel horse, the vault, the tumbling runs. Did you ever fall down? Have you guys been watching this? I feel like there's a lot more falling down than normal.
Hmm.
Is that supposed to happen?
I was waiting for Simone to fall down yesterday. She did not.
Even on a
bum leg.
Bad limb.
She's a lasso in and of herself. She's amazing. Idea that Milk was a gymnast, I keep thinking about old school.
Very flexible.
Oh, yeah. Milk doing the Iron Cross with a cigarette in
with
his mouth.
With a cigarette.
Vince
Vaughn.
Old school scene. I have noticed a lot of this happening. And I will tell you, like, there's nothing that makes me more uncomfortable than a gymnast falling off that, like, beam or anything. Like,
yes.
It is. It's a very awful moment. It's embarrassing that they're jumping back on the music. It's highly uncomfortable.
Maybe if the music they didn't have that, it wouldn't be as embarrassing.
Did you guys see the men's U.S. men's team?
We got bronze.
Got medal got today.
Yeah.
One of the guys on our team looks like a jacked up Harry Potter. Did you see that guy?
Nerdaronic or something like that. His pommel horse is why they won.
So we have not won a medal since 2008 men's gymnastics.
Yeah, I have to confess that
as a team,
I don't really ever have to see men's gymnastics. It's not why I tune into the Olympics. This is not my thing.
Rooster, what was the name of the guy when we grew up that they would do this on the pommel horse?
The blonde guy.
We had Bart Connor.
Bart Connor.
Or Kurt something. The guy that they named some of the moves. Yep. There was a time where we would watch men.
Yeah.
There was a time.
Was there? There was?
I don't know.
That's a personal problem.
So to me, the worst part about it is the announcers. They're terrible. They're just terrible. They can't stop talking.
Hey, all of you guys, you bougie guys, I imagine, maybe other than Man of the People like me and Milk have been to Paris. You guys have all been to Paris, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, so I can't say this, neither can Milk, because again, we're Men of the People, but would you guys ever swim in the River Seine?
I'd swim in anything.
Hell no.
I mean, I have
been to Paris.
Certainly not after thousands and thousands of pounds of sewage went in there this weekend.
Ugh.
This is disgusting that they have to try. This is a punch for French, the French organizers,
government,
everybody. Like there's, you know, the problem with the swimming in it, you know, the levels they're concerned about is E. coli.
Yes.
They have to wait for the trace levels of E. coli are acceptable enough to run a triathlon in that. And it's disgusting. Right.
They spent $1.5 billion to clean up the Seine just for the triathlon swimming leg.
Oh my God.
Probably spent less money on a new processing plant. Cleaned it up forever.
Did you say billion?
1.5 B with a billion.
That's a punch.
B with a billion. That's like.
Why didn't they just do it in Tahiti, like surfing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a lasso.
They definitely, though, I think it's pretty typical that they check the water quality in any triathlon, though. I mean, that's a thing, like where they're always measuring it, you know, a couple days before, making sure that it's okay wherever you do these things.
So does anyone have a good lasso story?
Well, I've got one. I mean, yeah, I gotta say, the French swimmer, the kid, Leon Marchand, mm-hmm. Did anybody watch him? I gotta say, I just couldn't. So he's coached by Phelps' old coach, Bowman. I think it's Bowman, right?
Arizona.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hype around him that he's the new Phelps, that he could break a lot of Phelps' records. I think he already broke his 400 individual medley world record. But I just thought it was pretty cool to see him. I think he's 21 and he's getting the gold medal for his first event. And to have the French national anthem playing when in your home country, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, that was kind of a give you chills moment. 21-year-old kid standing and the whole place is singing along. The French national anthem. That's got to be pretty amazing.
And they all chant in unison when he does the butterfly as he emerges from the water on each stroke. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got to be the biggest. I think he's probably the biggest French hero in the Olympics, right? I mean, he's got to be the guy that everybody's watching.
Yeah. Oh, what's your lasso?
Well, I got a number of them. But the first one I've got is: did you guys watch the women's swimming final and the 100 meter butterfly yesterday? So the winner, Tori Husk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's from Virginia. Virginia
was deprived of being on the podium in Tokyo by 1/100th of a second. I mean, I always forget how cool swimming is, and they're so fucking close at the finish, you know, it's almost like F1, you know, qualifying within hundredths of a second. So she gets the gold by 4/100ths of a second over her teammate Gretchen Walsh, USA. And you know, it's the story is she misses the podium by 1/100th and gets a gold by 4/100ths. Just an amazing story, shows you how close these swimming finals are and that perseverance overcome that 3 years later.
You know, I'm gonna pile onto that too a little bit, talking about women's swimming, and I think this is the last. So there is a small all-girls school here in the area called Stone Ridge, and I think they probably graduate like 65, you know, kids a year. So really small school. They have 3 women on the Olympic swimming team.
That's
pretty unbelievable. Katie Ledecky. Class of 2015, Phoebe Bacon, who's class of 2020, and Aaron Gamel, who's class of 2023. I mean,
this is a swimming school, obviously, like, you know, to go there.
I guess so. I just think there's a lot of good swimming in the
community. It's a really small school.
But I mean, that's
it's a Catholic
that's
school,
pretty
right?
unbelievable. Yeah, it is. It's pretty unbelievable to have 3. You know, not just in your history to have 3 Olympians, that 3 Olympians competing at 1 time on the team.
House, you probably need to go soon, right? You have a lasso?
Yeah, I got a couple lassos. I this one is for Bison because, you know, he's a, I don't know if everyone knows it, he's a huge table tennis aficionado.
Oh, this is mine too. I got one too.
Were you going to do Zen Zijing?
Yeah, Zijing. Go ahead. You go ahead and do it.
Go.
So she's 58 years old.
What?
She's playing. Yeah, she's 58 years old, and she's playing for Chile in the Olympics. She was born in China, And at age 18, she wanted to go and play for China. But table tennis changed, as you well know, out the two-sided paddles.
As you well know.
And you know, Bison, you know that when they went to paddles.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why even mention it? We all know it.
Yes. So after the two-sided paddle controversy, she got very frustrated with the sport, retired at the age of 20, moved to Chile, decided to coach table tennis. And then in 2000, she decided to get a job in regular life and stepped away from the game altogether. She didn't play for 20 years. And then because of COVID in 2020, she bought a table and started playing again. And it all came right back to her. She made it a goal to make the 2024 Olympics representing Chile. And sure enough, here she is at age 58 playing for Chile. It's amazing what it is to get right back up on the horse again.
40 years later.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
She was playing competitive table tennis in China at age 9.
What was her first Olympics? L.A.?
84? No, she quit.
She didn't make
she never
it.
Never did.
She didn't make she didn't it as make a it. Child and then quit.
Oh.
The two-sided paddle milk. The
came back.
Nace, you're...
In her 50s.
Sport, obviously. Is she the front runner? Who do we have on the men's side?
Well, I think she's
Go ahead.
She's the best 50... No, I was just going to say she's the best 58-year-old in the...
In the Olympics?
No, she's the best 58-year-old in the Olympics.
Good one.
Wow, that is a good one.
You guys also know about Kanak Jha, J-H-A. You know about this dude? He is a U.S. table tennis player, and he was banned from the. Yeah, we have one, and he actually upset one of Bice's favorites, Korea's Cho Dae-song, on Sunday.
That was very disappointing.
Yes,
very disappointing.
I remember you talking about him. He qualified as the youngest member of the USA Olympics. Team of all at age 16 for Rio, and then he was on track to make it to the games, but the reason he didn't make it was because you have to fill out forms for a drug test, and he failed to write down, this is also like a punch,
which is banana.
He failed to write down the number +1 next to his US phone number on the form, and because of that, when the tester tried to call him, the call didn't go through. And so USADA, United States Anti-Doping Agency, banned him for a year.
Oh my God.
He lost 17 months of his career, went home, practiced. He started a GoFundMe to pay his expenses. Every single dollar of the $12,623 he raised to get back to the Olympics. And sure enough, he's made it all the way back and is playing for the USA and had that upset win. Which I think is a pretty good lasso story.
Hey, speaking of funding, I got another great lasso. Are y'all familiar with Flava Flav?
Yeah. Oh,
have you heard the story?
Pokes, two rappers in one episode for Pope. That's like
yeah, I know.
Pope, I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll.
All right. Pope, do you know what band he was in, Pope?
No.
Public Enemy.
Come on.
Why would you embarrass me in front of all these?
Oh, because it's so easy. It's so easy.
Millions of listeners, you embarrass me. So, Flava Flav, speaking of funding, found out that the U.S. Women's Water Polo team was in dire need of fundage to get over to Paris. They put out a GoFundMe. Saying that some of the women who were, you know, going to go over there were working second and third jobs just to raise the money so they could go over there. And Flava, I guess he said, I'm a girl dad and I am happy to fund the project and get them over there. And he signed a 5-year deal. He's over in Paris doing the, all the events, getting his picture taken. Jill Biden was there taking a picture with him at the water polo event. He's, you know, it's kind of like Snoop. He's kind of a hit of the Olympics over there. And that's just a great story.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
He's willing to take them under his wing like that.
So does
one of you guys is covering, funding in Luo Albang and South Sudan. Someone got sacked.
How does it work? Like, does every single sport have to pay for their own way over there? Like the water polo team has to come up their own money?
They're amateurs, Milk.
Yeah.
I thought USA Olympics just covered everything. We don't have like a...
No, I think a lot of these,
well, I mean, I think they
exactly have to get themselves there.
They might cover some expenses, but not all, like housing and I don't know.
I think we should tip our hats to our two old guys, LeBron and KD.
Oh, yeah.
For the performance against Serbia. That may have been the best played U.S. men's basketball game in the history of the Olympics. I mean, that was dominant. Oh, yeah. Dominant. Those KD hadn't even practiced, basically, with the team and came out and hit 8 for 8 in the first quarter. Just unstoppable.
This one comes from, this is a mailbag lasso, or maybe a punchable face, depending on your perspective. It comes from cousin Justin's wife, Randy, who's apparently an uber Olympic fanatic.
And a Yankees fan, by the way, people.
She is a big Yankees fan. Do you all know who Matthew Dawson is?
No.
Matthew Dawson.
Isn't he on 90210?
No, it could be. He's an Australian field hockey player. So remember the Australian field hockey team who earlier this month broke a finger on his right hand.
Well, I know this story, yes.
And yeah, he was going to have surgery that would keep him out for months. So he decided, fuck it, I'll have it amputated. And he just had the finger taken off.
He's
so
like
that he wouldn't
now.
Miss the Olympics.
He went full Ronnie Lott.
He went Ronnie Lott, Jerry Garcia, all at one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, is that a lasso or a punch?
I think that's a lasso.
I'm not sure.
That's
a lasso. I think it's a lasso, but it's unclear.
It's not a real good feel story, though.
I've got a punch, and I don't mean for this to be political, but it sort of is. I'm going to punch Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and all these other prudes in our government who mistook the opening ceremonies for a mocking of the Last Supper, when in fact it was supposed to be an ode to the Greek gods and some kind of Greek baccarat.
It
had nothing to do with the Last Supper.
Yes.
It was, and these fucking idiots don't even bother to check their facts or get things straight before they're out there trying to do cancel culture now on the Olympics. It's a perfect example of what's wrong in this country on both sides of the spectrum, where everyone's canceling everyone else for stuff they don't even understand. It's annoying.
I'm going to feel good for I agree with all of that. I feel good for South Sudan. Again, I know you all know this very, very well. But Milk, you know what continent South Sudan is on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Canada. Nice. Africa, nice. So South Sudan was actually part of the nation of Sudan until only 13 years ago. July of 2011, there were decades and decades of civil war there, and they split off. They are one of the world's poorest countries in the entire world. But it just so happens that in South Sudan, they're literally their average height of a person in South Sudan is 6 foot tall. And so it's also one of the world's tallest populations. And you guys might remember from the Chicago Bulls, Lual Deng.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manu Bol was from Sudan.
So Lual Deng is technically from South Sudan, and he grew like an interest in developing basketball as a sport. And you might have seen the kind of the friendly match that occurred before the Olympics between South Sudan and USA, where they almost beat us.
Yep.
They legit almost beat us. And so people are like, oh, maybe the USA. Well, South Sudan came out and played their very first match and drubbed Puerto Rico, like 91-79 or something like that, in their very first Olympic match ever. And all of it, nearly all of it, is being funded personally by Lual Deng, the former NBA player. And I just think that's a cool story.
Yeah, good for him.
Did you guys see the tennis match today or see the results? Nadal and the Joker?
Did you watch opening ceremonies? I always thought he looked bad.
Who, Rafa?
Like Nadal? Yeah.
I mean,
he's on weight, or I don't know.
He's 38.
Yeah.
No, and that's the thing. He wasn't in tennis shape. He lost in straight sets, but evidently he had a great comeback in the second set, won four straight games, and, you know, had the crowd going nuts. I mean, he's basically adopted French anyway, with 14 French titles. But
and I'm sure you were happy with Joker's victory. Your boy.
Your boy.
So
well, I think that's about enough tennis for today.
So wrong.
That's about enough tennis for one day. I want to give you a lasso and a punch on the same sport. I'm going to give a lasso to the breaking competition. That's right. That's what they call break dancing in the Olympics. It's called breaking. This is the first year.
That's a sport?
And it is.
I thought this is one that Pope covers.
Is it like an exhibition sport? Or
no.
Is it actually a medal sport this year?
It's a medal sport. Just like skateboarding and sport climbing, Pope, do you know what a breaking game or match is called?
A breaking game or match?
Yeah. Do you know what it's actually called, the right term?
I don't have a fucking clue.
It's a battle. You have a break battle. And then the.
Like a wrap off.
Is that like when you challenge someone to.
That's right. And the athletes are referred to as B-boys and B-girls, just so you can. Stick with the lingo, Pope. I know you knew that, though. But it's just to show you what a sport it is, every day starts off with a round robin qualifying round, where it's like there's like just competition left and right, and they go for 5 hours straight in competitions. They're scored on music, vocabulary, musicality, sorry, originality, technique, and execution. And then also, but here's why I want to throw a punch in there too, because it's not going to be in LA. So what? We're going to get 2 days.
Not going to be in LA?
No, it's going to be the most popular sport.
The breakdance capital of the world?
That's right.
Why is it not going to be in LA?
I didn't make the list of teams of sport. So we've got August 9th and 10th. Where 16 B-boys and 16 B-girls are all entered in the competition. Each day starts with a round robin consisting of four groups of four. The top two in each group advances to the quarters, and then so on and so on. But we get 2 days.
Is we have a team?
Bison, are you still talking about breakdancing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good God.
It's a lot more interesting.
Does the USA
tennis.
Have a team?
We sure do.
Is there like a team event, like a relay where they dance and then
dude,
they
have I'm gonna
it
sh- I'm gonna show you I have a breakdance move that I'm gonna show you at our draft, our fantasy draft.
I can't wait to see that.
I might have to come back from Greece.
This is now happening, Research. So
yeah,
get ready.
Yeah. Just remember to remember Jethro and logistics from the USA. I think they
Jethro
side shot.
There's a breakdancer named Jethro.
Jeff Rowe, Jeff.
Oh,
Jeffrey
Jeff
Lewis.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Is this, and this is tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the morning?
No, it's August 9th and 10th. August 9th and 10th. So you got plenty of time to get up to speed. You can
I'm busy.
The,
I think I'm busy.
Championships on YouTube.
I have a couple of punches in these Olympics. If you didn't see the very first day, before even the opening ceremonies, you didn't see what happened between Morocco and Argentina in that soccer match. Morocco, and a little bit of an upset. Remember, these guys are all U23. Like, I think two or maybe three exceptions that you can have over 23-year-olds. Well, otherwise, these are very, very young players from other nations. But still, Argentina was favored. Morocco was winning 2-1, and there was 16 minutes of extra time added for injuries and the like. And Argentina, in the 16th minute, tied it up at 2. And Moroccan fans stormed the field. There were fireworks set off. The ref cleared out everybody. Like, it became total chaos over a tie of a soccer match. And he kept the players around and he cleared out everybody. And after over an hour and a half, the match was over for an hour and a half. The ref announced that he had reviewed VAR and that on VAR, there was a toenail of an Argentinian player that was over the line. And therefore, the goal did not count. Tying goal did not count. He brought the players on the field for 3 more minutes of extra time, and Morocco won. You can't do that. You can't.
This is ridiculous.
That's bananas. That was,
and my other one is, and this has come up unfortunately every single Olympics, but you know, the Olympics is supposed to be where it's just about sportsmanship, the politics aside, and the whole thing. It turns out that one of the sports that one of the few sports that Israel is very good at in the Summer Olympics is judo. They have a very, very good men's judo team. And they had an Israeli judo contestant named Baruch Shmeler competing. And he was going up against a guy from Tajikistan, which is a remotely Muslim country, Nurali Imomali. And the Nurali Imomali guy refused the sportsmanship etiquette to shake the opponent's hand. And in judo, you're supposed to shake hands before you start. So, you know, he refused to shake hands and just yelled out Allahu Akbar or whatever. And, you know, it was nasty thing. So the match ends. The Israeli judo contestant wins the match. And the Tajikistan guy goes in for his next match against Japanese Olympian Fumi Ato, in which he was thrown and dislocated a shoulder. Of the Tajikistan, to which I say, karma the bitch.
Karma is a bitch, asshole.
Nice.
Everybody just shake hands. Just shake hands.
Yeah.
Come on, God.
That's the Olympics are supposed to help, you know, bring everybody together, not you know, further divide.
Well, with apologies to Moose, we haven't talked about Canadian women's Spygate drone.
No.
Unbelievable what Canada's doing.
Cheaters.
Unbelievable. They're the defending gold medalists, and they feel like they have to cheat. Spying on New Zealand?
Why do you think they got the gold, Pope? They cheated to get the gold, probably.
I don't know. I'm a little, you know, those Canadians are so nice in general. They're just so nice. It's kind of encouraging to see them cheat a little bit. You know, just give them a little more character. I appreciate it.
Their coach has been suspended for a full year.
Well, and they were docked 6 points in the group stage, which, as everyone knows, means they will not get out of the group stage. So they're
I heard they still have a chance somehow after some miraculous game.
Everybody has. There's a draw for every game.
Apparently, they had an unbelievable comeback yesterday that kept their chances alive of getting out of the group stage.
House has probably run the numbers. Our soccer expert, he probably knows what they need to do in order to advance.
Women's team
kind of loses in everything.
U.S. women's team's already advanced to the quarterfinals. Yeah. They've already got six minutes, which is amazing.
They've looked good, and then one of their star players is the Worm's daughter, right?
Yeah, yeah, Trinity Rodman.
Yeah.
So on a different note, do you know that the all-time women's Olympic gold medal record is up for grabs at these Olympics?
It is?
Currently, Soviet gymnast Larisa Latina, I'm sure I said that wrong, won 9 gold medals from 1956 to 1964 and has the record for most, you know, career all-time golds in the Olympics for a woman. And Katie Ledecky and Simone Biles both have a chance. Ledecky needs 2 golds in her 4 events. In fairness, Biles has 4 golds, but has an opportunity for 6 medals in Paris. So she would need to sweep those to set the record. And then there's a German equestrian, Isabel Wirth, who began in the first Olympics, were, get this, 1992.
Holy shit.
And she can't beat the record, but she could tie it. She's got 7 goals.
I have a child who was born in that year.
Anyone know where the 92 games were besides me? Anyone?
Nope.
92? Barcelona.
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 That was the original dream team, wasn't it?
That's
right. Yes. I think that's right. Correct.
How does this team cover Simone Biles?
Wait, House, what did you say?
I think Rooster was going to talk about the greatness that is Simone Biles as one of our lasses on this thing.
Yeah, we've already talked about how she's just the best women's gymnast in the history of gymnasts, but just her courage and toughness was on display day one, where she re-injured her calf, had to go leave the floor, go out to the locker room, and came back and just nailed it with a move that nobody else in the world can do. And you can see her effect on the team. When she left, the next one up from the U.S. kind of choked. The nerves got the best of her. And as soon as Biles came back from the locker room, they got their act together and did well. But she's just amazing. She's just truly an amazing once-in-a-generation athlete that we should all just soak up and watch every time we can.
Is she on tonight, or is it tomorrow, the finals? I think it might be tomorrow.
I can't imagine
Tuesday it's and one Thursday. Day after. No, yeah, it's Tuesday and Thursday, because they're the team competition also. So I think.
But can you imagine the pressure that just, like, to be that famous and all the expectations, and then still be able
and to that perform? Old for the sport? You know, she is old for the sport, and she does not seem to have lost anything in terms of the height of her jumps and all that. If anything, it's just that her tendons are probably starting to go on her.
All right, we got a couple more to do here. If I said the name Jimmer Bredette, what does that mean,
Ted? He's a basketball player.
Basketball player from Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And did you know he's in the Olympics?
For dancing?
Because did you know that there's a 3-on-3 basketball competition in the Olympics this year?
What?
So
I did not.
Bredette is playing alongside Kareem Mattis, Canyon Berry, Dylan Travis. And by the way, Jimmer is a BYU grad, not a
He's a Mormon.
Yeah.
So you asked about the USA's, or how do we stack up, or how about the USA's basketball chances? So who wants to face this team? Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dylan Brooks, RJ Barrett, Dwight Powell, Kelly Olynyk, Lou Dort, Trey Lyles. Okay, yes, it doesn't stack up to the United States, but that is the
Germany, Canadian France, basketball. And the U.S. would like to play that team because they all have big people on their team.
That Canadian basketball team is very, very interesting. And while Canadians like to cheat at their sports, that team probably won't cheat. And that team, I think, could give a lot of teams fits. The bottom line is the world is caught up. Yes, you know, we have a great, great team. If you look at our championships, our medals, our accolades, all-star teams, and our championships, all that stuff, nobody should stack up with us on paper. But Embiid did put his finger on something. It is an older team, and we're playing with older guys for the most part. And the world is catching up. The international basketball is a different game. I'm not so sure it's a shoe-in that we did the ball. I really don't think.
We could be upset. We could be upset by Germany or France.
Germany or France or
Canada or Canada. We could be upset by them. I don't think we will.
It won't
be
Canada.
By the way, Nace, I thought, or Bison, I thought that you were going to say that Jimmer Fredette was participating in a new event called soaking.
Soaking.
Like jury duty?
No. It's a BYU thing.
God.
Oh boy.
I don't know. Okay.
Yay.
Look it up.
You know what, House, you and I were talking about Dawn Staley punched herself when she admitted that had they waited a couple weeks, I guess, for consideration for the U.S. Olympic women's basketball roster, that Caitlin Clark would have merited serious consideration. I mean, what?
Apparently Coach Staley heard the pod.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Of course she belongs on
the team. Heard the pod with Keeks and understood where she had made her mistake. Well, if we're getting close to wrapping it up, I've got the ultimate lasso. I don't know if you guys, did y'all get a chance to see Bob the Cap Catcher?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did I ever?
Can't shake it.
That's awesome.
You mean Milk's older
Milk
cousin?
28.
I want that job. I want that job.
Oh, God. One of the U.S. swimmers lost her cap during the 100-meter breaststroke. And this guy appears out of nowhere. He's got a Speedo with flowers on it, and he doesn't have a body that's like built for swimming. And he just walks across in front of everyone. And everybody's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And he dives in the pool, goes straight down like he's trying to get, you know, we used to get quarters off the bottom of the pool. He just goes straight down, grabs the cap, comes up, goes in between the different lanes, walks out, then walks all the way back across. And I don't know who was commentating. It might have been, Terry Gannon. He goes, who is that? Bob the cap catcher? And it is caught on. It's the best meme. It is the best meme so far at the Olympics. Bob the cap catcher.
The legend grows.
Legend grows.
We got to give a shout out to Daniela Moroz, who is the favorite to become the first ever kiteboarding champion at the Olympic from the U.S. of A. 23 years old. So kiteboarding is also, it's part of the sailing competition this year. So that's one to watch. I bet you that's kiteboarding pretty cool.
Is that in Tahiti too, or is it just surfing?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll bet you that's going to be kind of fun to watch. All joking aside, I think these things like watching breaking and kiteboarding, 3-on-3 basketball, I think that's kind of fun to watch.
It's the fucking Summer X Games. It shouldn't be part of the Olympics. I'm sorry.
Why not?
It just shouldn't be competing.
What are you talking about? There are athletes competing. First of all, kiteboarding is for sure. I mean, if surfing's a sport, so is kiteboarding, right? I mean, those are incredibly athletic.
Well, just because it's a sport doesn't mean it should be in the Olympics.
Oh my God. Okay. Get off my lawn, old man. Right. I mean,
we have break dancing in there now.
That's right. Breaking. I mean, that's going to be fun. I think we all took a little bit of a pause yesterday when we were watching women's beach volleyball, right? Missing the dynamic duo of Misty May and Carrie Walsh. That was a little bit
too soon.
Yeah, but it definitely, I don't know. It just felt weird. It sort of feels like they should have camped in the sport after they retire.
Yeah. Just kind of missed, was missing something.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was.
Yeah. Well, they were legends. They were there every Olympics I can remember. They were there.
You know, ever since beach volleyball became an Olympic sport as the original Greeks intended.
That's right.
I like it. I'm really into it now.
All right. Anybody have anything else on Olympics?
I'm just looking forward to next week, Bison, when you come up with some more obscure Olympic sports for us to discuss.
Did you know that the first modern Olympics in the 1800s, the swimming events were held in open water? There were no pools.
Like
that would
sharks?
Be harder.
Like yeah. The sharks?
Yeah.
1896, Athens.
People were cool. We need to get the hell out of this water. It's freezing cold.
So that would be interesting. In LA, throw them out in the Pacific and let's do that.
I'm just impressed we talked about the Olympics for 50 minutes, guys.
There's great stuff here.
Yeah.
There's great stuff here.
Really good stuff.
All right.
Let's scratch on the surface.
Yeah. All right. So we did it. We got those are all our punchable faces and our lassos. Who's got a buzzer beater?
Milk wanted to talk about the trade deadline.
Yeah. He's in favor.
I already.
Who's already left on your team, Milk?
No,
anybody?
Are you guys having tryouts?
Are you playing tonight, Milk?
They called me up.
Milk, if you were going to play, what position would you play?
Well, that's a great question.
He plays cap catcher.
Third base.
Really? Third base? You got a gun? Got a little? Yeah. Got to have a rocket to play third base.
Bit of an arm.
I was thinking more of a second baseman.
In Major League. You remember the scene in the Major League when they're taking the old Indians plane? And they're like duct taping up the wing.
Yeah,
I don't think that's Tampa Bay. I don't think Mel can reach first base in third base with his arm. I don't think he can do it.
I saw more as a second base, sort of a grappy little annoying guy playing second base.
I did tell a little second too, but I was a third baseman.
Well, maybe, you know, going around the stadium, you might have an opportunity.
Maybe we'll have a little wager in Scottsdale.
Didn't you guys just get a brand new multi-gazillion stadium?
No, St. Pete got it.
Well, hey, whatever. I mean, the franchise, and they don't have any players.
It's everyone's saying this Morrell guy or whatever for the Cubs is pretty good.
Well, I've seen a lot of things, Milk, that say that you guys are actually doing a pretty good job, given, you know, the fact that you are selling and giving everything up, that you're actually doing a pretty good job. Now, why you're selling, that's a different issue, right?
Okay. Right, because weren't you tied for the wild card when you decided to sell the entire team?
No, we were like 3.5 games back, though. And now I'm hearing our closer might go to the Yankees, which I can't be able to handle.
Oof. That hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess one of the big ones has to be Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees, right?
Had anyone ever heard of that guy before this trade?
He's overrated.
I've never heard of him, but he's been an all-star.
I mean, definitely had some speed to the lineup, which is desperately needed. But
is he going to start in the outfield?
He started a
year last year.
He like got off the plane, came to the stadium, and started last night against the Red Sox and went 1-for-5 and stole third base and then scored. Our big problem is pitching. Who thinks that Tarik Skubal or Blake Snell will be traded?
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
that would solve a lot of problems on some contenders if they got one of those guys.
I don't follow enough American League baseball. The Phillies acquired a reliever from the Angels, Carlos Estevez, who hasn't given up a run since Memorial Weekend and has really good numbers. And he's one of the leading closers in the American League. And we need it badly. And we gave up two pretty decent prospects. So I don't know enough about him, but I think that's a pretty big move for a team that needs to shore up a hole. There might still be a shot for the Phillies make a move on Luis Robert from the White Sox. That would be the real earth shaker. But I think they're asking for too much right now, but that Robert could still move somewhere too. And that would be huge for any team that picks him up.
The Phillies just had a Yankees-esque losing streak.
We play the Yankees starting time.
Yeah, but I mean, both teams have gone through some really, really bad spells lately.
It's a shame, too.
House, I'd like to see. I think the Phillies would do well to pick up another Nat. There's one, Patrick Corbin, that's available out there. I think if you like him, I imagine we can make a deal.
I would rather have a 58-year-old Chilean ping pong player.
Yeah, no kidding. Corbin.
Yeah, okay. You probably would.
I don't understand. I still, to this day, do not understand how the Yankees GM and coach still have a job. It just boggles the mind.
It's going to be awesome when the Rays catch the Yankees this year. When we
Cashman, the whole team. Should trade. I'd trade DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, and Giancarlo Stanton right now with a prospect for one pitcher. That's how bad this guy's.
Wow. Talk about loyalty lacking. Whoa.
Like, oh man, it's a business.
Jeez. anybody else got a buzzer beater? No.
Well, we were going to talk about F1. We kind of covered it in the bar talk, but I don't know if you guys saw where Red Bull affirmed today that Checo is going to stay in his seat for the rest of the year or the foreseeable future, whatever you want to call it. There'd been a lot of rumors about Ricardo or Tsunoda or somebody else coming up and taking it because he's been like shit lately.
Signs is a better driver. I think you got signs.
Yeah, I think you got to, you know, just talking about F1. I mean, what a season, right? I mean, we're at the
finally
summer break now, halfway through. I guess we've had, 13 Grand Prix at this point and 7 different winners. I mean, I didn't see that going into the season. It's been, I think it's been 4 races since Max won one. So things are definitely getting interesting, and it's been fun.
I think we're getting close to allowing us to draft Max in our pool.
Yeah.
Right when I come back up the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. All right, who else has a buzzer beater?
Isn't the Dutch Grand Prix the one that kicks it off?
Oh, is it? Is that the return from summer break?
I may be wrong on that. I can't remember. But whatever it is, Max, there's a lot of pressure on Max, or he's going to put a lot of pressure on Red Bull to give him the car that he
needs. Yeah, you're right. It's the Dutch Grand Prix.
So
August 23rd.
You think 23rd. You think he might want to win that one?
I just don't know if the car's got it. Boy, what a rough way to go into the summer break though for George Russell. Oof. That's gotta hurt.
Damn it.
It's a long time to be pissed off, right, Milk?
Yes.
Oh yeah, you got 0 points.
Yeah.
I had first and third.
Any other wow, that sucks. Any other buzzer beaters? All right. Well, we'll be back next week with some more Olympic stuff and see what else is going on in the sports world. There's actually a football game coming up.
Football can't start soon enough.
Football, yeah, Thursday night.
Pictures of the game Thursday night.
There it
is. Now, all right, guys.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.